If it's gonna suck, let's get it over with fast. That's what I say.
Sound like my wife. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, whoop-de-doo. Welcome back to the X3 Magazine podcast. Nope, we're going. I'm Jonathan Woolley, the guy with AIDS over there. It's Mike Sanders. Can we say that? I should probably start over.
Probably not. I do like the fact that you went full proper with it, though, as in the AIDS.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going. Hopefully, we won't put you guys through much here. This is going to be a short podcast, a fast cast. Is that a term that's been coined already? If not, I'm just going to coin it now.
It is now.
Anyway, backstory. I did a feature today on a Purple Civic, and you know, so I've been thinking about Hondas all day, and kind of the feature went down the road of defending Hondas and how awesome the golden era Hondas were and everything. Not sure if this is going to be a good podcast, because it kind of feels more like it should just be a quick Instagram reel, which it is, and then move on. But, you know, whatever. We'll talk about it, because there might be a good point or two in here. My point, maybe... You know, maybe we play devil's advocate on this. Who knows? But my point, and I've said this a lot in various forms, whether it was print or video or whatever, like, I think that golden era Hondas are amazing. I think that they're a truly, like, unique, definitely raw, very visceral, very artful, spirited driving experience. And I think you can compare it to much more expensive cars, right? I think it's awesome at any price point. And I think the fact that Honda in the 90s managed to, I mean, you think about what they did, dude. Like, they created VTEC, which is kick-ass. VTEC has probably made more car enthusiasts than damn near anything other than a turbo. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you put somebody in a car and pop VTEC in there, you cannot be lukewarm about that experience. You're kind of like, holy crap, what was that? Anyway, the point is, Honda did this in the 90s. They did it affordably. Like, they made this awesome driving experience, and they brought it to the people affordably. They created, like, an entire new generation of hot rodder, you know, a whole, what we call tuners now, or import car enthusiasts or whatever. Like, they kind of set the stage for that by innovating and doing cool shit. I don't like it when people put down Hondas because they're cheap. If that's your argument, like, you shouldn't put them down because they're cheap. They should be praised because they're that cool and that cheap. And they're versatile, man. Like, I have a CRX. I can put a freaking mountain bike in the back of it. Like, we're talking about a two-door hatchy thing. You know, the swap options, the way that they did that, to where you could swap essentially any engine in any car pretty effortlessly. The cars are virtually indestructible. The engines are, unlike a lot of higher end cars, which are very destructible. There's not a lot that you can say to put down a Honda other than, oh, well, you know, the people are annoying. Okay, fair. There's a stereotype, at least there was before, you know, when the cars weren't quite so old, but there's a stereotype for Mopars, there's a stereotype for BMWs, there's a stereotype for Zs and Gs, and every car that's successful has a stereotype. I think, while I'm on the tangent, you know, I've seen, you know, with our generation, our age, you know, we're in our 30s and 40s now. We've seen a lot of guys feel like they have to grow out of Hondas, you know, like, they kind of just, oh, well, you know, I moved on from that now and I have a BMW or I have a Porsche or whatever. And it's like, bro, you don't have to move on from Hondas. Like, that's dumb. That's because of some, you're trying to impress people that you don't know with a badge on your hood because of some warped perceived version of success that you have. I understand wanting to experience other cars, because I mean, I have a lot of different cars. I love all cars, you know what I mean? But, like, to put down what you came from because you upgraded to something else, you tried to level up, like, that's shitty. You know, it just kind of it doesn't show characteristics of a true car enthusiast to me. So, you know, I'll defend Hondas till the day I die. I think if they had a European badge on the hood, this would be a different story. You know what I mean? I think because Honda was able to bring this to the people and the masses, I guess it lacked pedigree for some people, although they kicked ass in Formula One in that era. I mean, have you, Ayrton Senna, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know even that argument. Like, the pedigree's there. Everything is there. I think that these cars, the 90s era, you know, golden era cars are absolutely at the bottom of their depreciation curve if they're not already coming up. I think eventually we're going to turn around and realize, damn, where did they all go? You know, like, that's kind of what this article was talking about. And you guys can please get the free S3 magazine app. Scroll down. It'll be a quick little scroll to a badass purple Civic. It'll be there. But this particular article, this car still has a B16. And he kind of rode through the whole wave of K's. He has a K, but he never put it in. It's a lot like me, actually. And now he's like, but the B16's kind of come full circle, right? It's period correct. There's a lot of coolness with that. I think we're going to turn around and realize that the B-Series engines are gone. You know what I mean? And a lot of these cars are kind of just disappearing. Anyway, what's your thoughts on it? I mean, I know I'm at least partly right. Or is it okay? Is the flip side that it's okay for a Honda to be an entry-level car that hooks you when you're young and makes you a lifelong car enthusiast, and then you move on, and that's fine?
I think the answer is yes to all. So you are correct. You're also seeing it with rose-colored glasses. And it is also okay to move on to something else. Hondas, because of the price point and just because it was like, because of what we did to these cars when we were younger, they kind of became known as the teenage hoodlum cars. You know, these rowdy, lowered cars with crazy paint schemes and big fat wheels and skinny tires and really, really loud, raspy exhaust. It kind of became like, oh, that's just the young hood rat shit that was going on. So, yeah, when you grow up and you get a professional career, you do kind of like feel the need to get out of that. Now I'm going to play devil's advocate, because unlike you, I kind of have seen the Honda stuff from both sides of it. Remember, Hondas were not my stepping stone into the automotive aftermarket culture. I went straight to DSMs because it was honestly even cheaper than Hondas, and it just kind of fell into my lap. So I jumped into the turbo stuff fast. And the DSM guys were a bunch of guys who, I mean, they kind of were assholes. They hated on everybody, especially Hondas, because they saw them as just the loud, obnoxious rice boys who made a whole lot of noise to go out and run 15-second quarter miles. And they were kind of the butt of a lot of jokes for muscle car guys and DSM guys and stuff like that. So, yeah, man, I mean, I kind of see it all different ways. I'll tell you this, though. After being in this industry for as long as I have and seeing as many cars as I have and all the builds and just everything that I've experienced, I respect Hondas a hell of a lot more now than I ever did when I was young and dumb. Okay. Now that I can truly see what Hondas and the Honda culture did for the automotive aftermarket industry and how many enthusiasts those cars being affordable and awesome made, and the racing pedigree and the fact that Honda is still doing it to this day when so many other people are backing off. See, I think what you're seeing now is the people who are truly gearheads and truly Honda enthusiasts are kind of having their second, almost third potential wave at this whole thing. You know, like the cars that Honda made in the late 80s were pretty rad. All throughout the 90s were awesome. The early 2000s were pretty kick-ass. Then kind of everything got set off again when they made the S2000, you know, and all of a sudden that was a different type of Honda. That was something that we had never really seen before from Honda, and it kind of had its own cult following. And then they went cold for a little while, didn't really give us a ton. And then the Type R happened, and now you've got the Acura, the Integra Type S, which is its own thing. And then they're teasing this Prelude. I love the fact that Honda unlike most other automotive manufacturers, is staying so true to its roots and continuously giving us what we're asking for, even though we're not really asking for it. Like seriously, think about how perfect the Type R is for the type of people like the ones that you're talking about. They're basically looking at everybody who was a Honda enthusiast and decided to, quote unquote, outgrow it and go and get a BMW or a Lexus or some, you know, shitty soul-sucking car like that. And they basically said, here is this Type R. This thing is rad. It's got all the infotainment. It's got a super comfortable interior. It's a four-door, so you can fit your family in there. It's turbocharged now. By the way, it's the best handling, best accelerating, best track car Honda that we have ever freaking produced. And by the way, we're also making a Type S version of it, which is even more bougie. Go out and have fun. So anybody who's like you, who has quote unquote grown up and decide that the old school Honda stuff is not for them anymore. And I get that completely, man. I totally do get that. Not everybody wants to ride around in. I mean, let's face it, dude, those cars were rad, but they were lightweight for a reason. They do not have creature comforts. All right. And when you get older, that does become an issue. So the new stuff being made right now is perfect for the grown up Honda guy. And again, I just got to give Honda so much freaking credit for actually continuously giving us that. It's a long
way. I mean, when Honda's on, they're on. I don't know why it took them so long to come back around. And I'm like you, man. Like when I was a kid, I always kind of like identified as a Honda guy, but I had an Eclipse Turbo because I could finance an Eclipse Turbo a lot easier than I could find the money to turbocharge a Honda, right? So like that $300 a month car payment I had was a lot easier. But there was just always something about a Honda, and I love those second gen Eclipses that we had, but there was something about a Honda that just popped. Eclipses looked great, but a Honda was like this little stout thing all the time. The hoods would open all the way up. The engines just looked perfect and godly inside of that engine bay. What's up?
So that's a good comparison, by the way, because it happened a lot faster with the DSMs. I'm not sure if it's because they didn't make as many or it's because it's probably because the DSMs broke earlier, would be my guess. But the DSM guys went into like full on scavenger mode. You know, you found out that the 6-bolt stuff was better than the 7-bolt stuff when it came to, and you had guys just like cannibalizing cars constantly. And because of that, there's like no more DSMs on the road anymore. They're just gone. Like they're extinct. They don't freaking exist anymore. If you see it out in the wild, take a picture because it might be the last one you ever see, you know? And, I feel like the Hondas, the old school Hondas of the 90s and the early 2000s are kind of going through that right now because the swap culture got so massive and so many cars got cannibalized and just destroyed in the process. I feel like the inventory, like what's left, is just very, very small. And maybe that's another reason we don't see these things on the road anymore, because people kind of understand that. And so they just keep them hidden away in the garage, which I hate, by the way. I think that totally sucks. Well, and I'm bad about that, too, having awesome cars just sitting in the garage.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so the Honda scene was obviously big in the 90s, early 2000s. And then they started getting their ass kicked by the WRXs, STIs, obviously the Eclipses, the Evos came in. They were outclassed in a lot of ways. But the Honda Nation never gave up. And see, that's the awesome thing, because it sparked a lot of innovation. So by like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, like the Honda scene was back. This time it had a lot of JDM influence that it didn't have the first time. You know what I mean? It was like people were bringing in JDM parts and stuff like that. And the cars started getting really top tier. You had events like Import Alliance, the iBot meet out on the West Coast. There were significant events that were really pushing people. And the cars started going really top tier. Everybody wanted to get in Honda tuning or whatever. And I think that kind of fucked it up, honestly, because they built the cars too nice. And then it did exactly what you're talking about. They put them in the garage and they were scared to take them out. And that is the absolute opposite of what a Honda is supposed to be. A Honda is supposed to be the one that you do take out and enjoy every day. And they built a Honda to like Ferrari specs. You know what I mean? Like they overbuilt it to the point where they had like this exotic Honda. No, yeah, no. What? Yeah, and it went wrong, and it kind of killed the scene. A lot of the guys that were borderline aging out did. You know, it was easy to be like, you know, well, I'll just whatever, get a truck for my next car and move on. Or and a lot of them still have the cars to this day, but they're hidden. And when they stopped coming out and they stopped getting seen on the street, that whole part of this scene died. Those angry little Hondas that were swapped and mega brappy and just, it's hard to explain, blinging from the engine bay to the paint to the interior. Everything was just glistening, man. There's something about a Honda that just works. It's just looks so good when they're built up. And those things started disappearing, and it kind of died with our demographic. And the younger guys, they got into more modern Hondas, more modern other cars. They got into bags, they got into stance, they automatics were okay, and the whole thing kind of turned. Like, I consider those Honda guys to be like genuine hot rodders. Stance guys, I mean, sorry if I'm offending anybody, I don't consider that to be hot rod shit. You're not swapping motors, you know what I mean? You're not going, it's just, it's different. But back to the point, I mean, today, 2023, you still have a lot of innovation happening for golden era Hondas. I mean, look, you got Hybrid Racing, Acuity, all these guys are like still producing and innovating and improving. And that was the thing about the Honda culture. The DSM guys, we folded. You know what I mean? Like, we did. Like, it got to a point to where, because DSMs made torque and Hondas didn't, DSMs ripped themselves apart. They broke. And it got to a point where people gave up. The Honda Nation never gave up. Like I said, by the, you know, earlier 2000s, they were outclassed. They should have sold them and bought something else, but they didn't. They just buried in and figured out how to make wiring harnesses and do these swaps. And these days they're doing all wheel drive. Like, they never give up, and the innovation keeps happening. And that's the kind of stuff that makes the aftermarket great.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And as far as the quick rise and fall of what happened with Honda Nation, I blame Instagram for that. Cause if you notice, like, they got really, really big right around the time that Instagram kind of took over in place of Facebook, whenever pictures and videos started becoming really, really the thing and the norm. And those Hondas look and sound so badass behind the lens of a camera. And so, yeah, they got all stanced out and they got all muscular and badass looking in these pictures. And everybody saw how freaking awesome they were. And they were able to finally show off these builds, not just on forums, but out there to anybody and everybody. And they got so much awesome feedback. They became these, like, iconic little cult classic cars. And then because of that, I think people just got freaked out or weird about it and said, JDM everything, we have to hide them in the garage. And that's kind of what happened.
True. And just to go back to what I was saying about the innovation, this is just a quick thing to add on. I mean, look at what they've done on the track. Look at the guys in Grid Life and the Time Attack guys. Like, you cannot deny the potential of these cars. I mean, I know it's like a lot of them are unlimited class, but even the guys that are just running K-swap Honda hatches, like, these cars are still weapons. It's insane. I also think, but to go on to the next point about, you know, part of what killed it, I mean, eventually all good things kind of have to come to an end. I mean, a 1995 Honda is what, almost 30 years old now. Yeah. So like, you know, they were popping off, really getting big when they were what, like 15 years old. So in that range, 15, 20 years, because they got cheap, but Honda made them so good that you could buy them cheap and still rip the shit out of them and basically daily drive them if you were willing to be uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Mm. And then now it's at the point where it's just not feasible. If you're 20 years old and in college, what are you going to drive a 30-something-year-old Honda hatchback 2 hours to college? No, it doesn't work anymore for the young generation. It works for us because we got a little bit of fuck off money and we can build the car and not have to drive it every day. But those guys, the, you know, the 16 to 25, 22, whatever, it gets kind of tough for them to justify it because it's a straight up hot rod to them. I mean, it's a 30-year-old car. That's like a muscle car. You know, that's like a 70 Challenger when I was a kid or something like that. Like, they're old, so.
Yeah, it takes a real busted knuckles kind of badass guy to just undertake that and go, yeah, I'll make that my daily. I'll deal with all the problems because there's going to be problems. It's going to be hard to find parts, that kind of thing. Not only that, but let's not forget, like, these cars are not exactly the kind of cars that girls these days dig. They're definitely much more of dude magnets than they are. Like, if you're a college-aged guy, it's almost one of those kind of cars where, like, unless she's a cool chick who understands car culture, she's probably going to think that you're just a poor.
It's true. It's true. When we were kids, I graduated in 98. Import shit was cool. You know, how do I say this? I don't know if this is polite or not. There was a certain level of affluence to it. I mean, there was and there wasn't, but the kids doing it weren't bottom of the barrel, right? Like, they were going places. They knew how to conversate. They were in decent shape, you know, stuff like that. Like, these days, it would be a lot like having a lifted truck. You know, like the high school kids now all want lifted or squatted trucks because that's what the girls are into. You know what I mean? Like, you show up in a 97 Integra, like, people are going to be like, what? What is that? Did your grandma die and leave you that car or something? Like, they just don't get it. And that goes into a whole nother thing. The problem is they don't get it because they don't fucking get it. If they had exposure to this stuff, if you could take the kid in the squatted truck, you know, the stupid ass truck, and stick him in some little swap Honda with VTEC, he would absolutely shit his pants. He would love it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he'd be all about it, but he just hasn't had that exposure yet. His friends have trucks. Their dads have trucks. They handed down their old trucks and they put a Rough Country lift on them on the front. and that's what it is. But yeah, I don't know, man. I guess that about covers it. I mean, the whole point is to keep it short and sweet. I do get what you're saying, though. See, my life is all screwed up. Like, S3 Magazine puts me in a different bracket than the average person. I never quit living this lifestyle, and it actually is content for me. I mean, I drive an old CRX on the street a lot, and it's just part of, like, my deal, right? Like, it's just part of what I do. But you said something at the beginning about, okay, so you get a job, right? You're going into an office or whatever. Like, you can't, you know, pull into the parking deck in some blue metal flake CRX with no interior. I get it. I get that my life is not like most people's life. So therefore, it's hard for me to judge and say, you know, when I talk about outgrowing Hondas or whatever, I get where people feel that pressure that, man, I need to step it up a little bit. You know what I mean? I can't show up to a client meeting in that. I just can't do it. And that's fair. But don't act like you outgrew it to us. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. Go get yourself your whatever the hell you want to get, your Audi or hell, a new Type R, you know, if that's not too boy racer for you. But remember where you came from, because like I said in the freaking little Instagram reels that I did, like, remember where you came from, because Hondas are fucking rad. These golden era Hondas, they're rad. There's nothing like them. And there's never going to be again that kind of simplicity, you know, and that kind of, and the funny thing is it was actually economical too. It was efficient. You got great gas mileage. We just got straight to the point with it and said, you want great gas mileage? Keep it under 5,500 RPM. Yeah. You have fun? Go over that. You know, and it was very simple. It was, and now we've got cars that shut themselves off at red lights and auto on off and all this bullshit and hybrids and heavy cars, all in the name of half of the efficiency that an old Honda gives you.
Exactly. We're still chasing the gas mileage that those things used to get in the 80s and 90s. The best advice I can give to anybody out there who is what we'll call Honda curious is it's an experience. The reason people love Hondas is the same reason that people love Miatas. And it's something that you cannot understand without just getting in the cockpit and experiencing it, to be honest. And the best way to experience it is not just on your own on a back road, letting a buddy borrow it, even though that'll probably go a pretty long way to explain what we are talking about, but go to a meet, go to a meet with a bunch of other Honda dudes, see the brotherhood, the camaraderie, experience the VTEC, go out there and see what 8,000-9,000 RPMs feels like in a lightweight car. I know that that's like a total anomaly nowadays since everything weighs freaking 6,000 pounds. But it's just different, and it's different in a good old school way. So if you are a car enthusiast and you have not experienced our brand, not even just Hondas, but just 90s Japanese cars, please go do it, because it is so different than the stuff that's being made today.
Yeah, I figure we're preaching to the choir here and everybody knows what we're talking about, but maybe some people don't. And if you haven't had exposure, shoot, just get on YouTube and start Googling, like, you know, K-Swap Honda Road Atlanta, and then Google like Corvette Road Atlanta or LS swapped, you know, whatever Road Atlanta. And you'll see what we're talking about, because the LS swap cars, they shift like four times. You know, and then meanwhile, the Honda, like, the GoPro's falling off the roll cage, the thing's screaming, like everything's just disintegrating like the Challenger space shuttle. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it is the most rowdy, awesome thing. So yeah, I don't know. And also just one last thing, if you don't, again, we feel like we're preaching to the choir, but if you don't have the experience, VTEC in a car with the stock airbox and the stock exhaust and stock interior is very, very different. You know, like when you open up a Honda engine, a Honda VTEC engine, and let it breathe, put an intake on it, put an exhaust on it, maybe take some of the interior out, that VTEC pops. It is Jekyll and Hyde. It's just, I mean, dude, I've been driving my CRX for what, 13 years, and I still just laugh when I hit VTEC. Especially because it's not the fastest car in the world compared to a lot of modern cars. You know, it's like you said, it's like Miata. It's not like, you know, you're pulling 700 horsepower in my CRX, at least. But that's what makes it so great, because you pull through first, you pull through second, you pull through third, and you're going 65 miles an hour, you know? But you are absolutely the fastest motherfucker on the planet in that 12 seconds.
It feels a lot like an adult go-kart, because there is just something about driving a slow car fast. And they're not even that slow of cars, you know, but just something that's not overpowering the road. That's a big problem today. I know people fall in love with horsepower and torque numbers and everything. Coming from a guy who has had a lot of high horsepower vehicles, they're definitely not all they're cracked up to be, because most cars, like most cars with 400 or more horsepower, overpower the road, especially with the tires that you're using. It's just not good fun unless you really, really, really like spinning tires. But it's not good driving. That's for damn sure.
There's so much more to it, man. There's weight, there's gear ratios, there's power bands, there's all this stuff. And that's why Hondas have always been more than the sum of their parts. You look at a K-Swap Honda, you know, and you go, well, it makes like 220 horsepower. Like, what in the world? You know, whatever, that Mustang makes 500. It's not the same. That K-Swap little CRX will run up the ass of any new Mustang or whatever. You know, like, it's just, it's a different experience. And that's why car culture is so rad, because it's not just chocolate or vanilla. There's like a million ways to have a freaking blast. And obviously, I love Hondas. Nothing against, you know, any other cars. I mean, and that's the thing, just to give me some sort of credibility, like, I also have an old air-cooled 911. Doesn't make me smile any more than the Honda. You know, they're both awesome, both in different ways, But it's just, man, if you just want a raw driving experience and you want to do it affordably and economically and fill it up for $15, you know, like that, you just can't beat them. Anyway, in closing, you know, check out s3mag.com. It's the letter S, the number 3, mag.com. I assume you already know who we are, but in case you stumbled on this and listened this far, go check it out, man, because if you like what we're saying here, like, this is the attitude of the magazine. And like I said, we just did an article on this purple little EK coupe. And that's kind of what inspired this whole little rant. But anyway, anything else?
That's it, man.
All right, that's it, man. See ya.